it's Mary, the Magic Apothecary, here with you again. I am here to discuss the next upcoming Sabbat and whatever else might flow into my unusually witchy mind. I'm playing some Witch House music for you. There's a really cool bunch of stuff all over Spotify that I have discovered called Witch House. Not that I didn't know there was house music, but I did not know in my ignorance that there was specific witchy house music. Anyway, so if you type that in, you'll get a bunch of stuff on Spotify, even on YouTube, huge amounts of playlists. Of course, you can look up the artists and purchase their MP3s and download them on iTunes or wherever else you feel, so you can have them with you at all times. It's a little unusual to have that there, but I kind of like it, and it kind of puts me in a mood to be witchy, so it's cool. You know, cool for me. Not everybody likes this kind of music, and I understand that. But just to let you know that it's around, so that's something called sleep paralysis by Psylocke and Skeletons. So it's kind of cool stuff. Some of it is freaky, weird, kind of scary stuff that you find in a horror film or something like that. But then there's other things that are just like, you know, interesting, you know, sort of meditative kind of stuff and whatever. So, and I find that I get really tired of, you know, sometimes of listening to the same old kind of airy-fairy pagan music, although I do use them in ritual. So I'm talking about music today a little bit. I guess that's how we're heading. And I was talking about music for Imbolc or Imbolc. Now, lots of people say I-M-B-O-L-C. This is a Sabbat that occurs in the Northern Hemisphere on February 1st, in the evening up to the 31st into the 1st. And what this is a return, a little bit more of a return of light, one step further from Yule. So I'm gonna find some music for that, and that's perfect because we have tons of these kinds of playlists around. So here's like all kinds of witchy music for that time of year. So we'll leave that on for us as well. We can have it in the background. So what this is a Celtic midwinter festival. Now it's spelled I-M-B-O-L-C, but it is said in the Gaelic way, Imbolc, Imbolc. And what it does mean, Imbolc, is in milk, or that there's a time of year when there's a flow of milk. And what this means is that there are many animals that are either gestating right now, and we're talking about this on January 19th, and ready to give birth or have given birth and are now ready to produce milk. And that would include sheep and cows, and any other, pretty much any other mammals that mate based on the seasons. So in our ancient history in the Northern Hemisphere, in places like Ireland, Scotland, England, Scandinavia, Germany, France, even up to down into Italy, all around Europe. We're talking about a European tradition. Imbolc is a Northern European in particular, tradition. So what is that? What is this? Well, in Ireland, this is specifically very much a Celtic holiday, although Wicca itself, formed by Gerald Gardner in the 1950s in the UK, was a conglomerate of a bunch of different things. And again, I talk about him often, and you can learn more about him on the internet and look him up. And there's also a really cool book called Witch Father, and in that you can hear a lot about him and his work and what he did and how he did it and why he did it. So there's that. But we're talking about a Wiccan holiday. We're talking about Wicca. And what is Wicca, right? We talked about that a billion times. Every time I talk about that, I bring it up. This is a man-made religion. It's a neo-pagan religion, a conglomerate, as I said before, of things like the OTO and Crowley's work, and also other types of witchcraft or spirituality that was all European, pretty much, from Italy all the way up into the Scandinavian territories. So that's also what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Gerald Gardner's idea of a cross-quarter day. It's a day in between two huge Sabbats, and Yule is a huge Sabbat, which just passed by. This is what we call Christmas or Yuletide. We're still kind of in Yuletide until the end of the month, and when we enter Imbolc, we're in Imbolc time. We have 2 or 3 weeks of that time where the sun is getting more and more apparent, and we see it more and more every day. It's getting lighter and lighter. I do not get up at dawn, but I do see when I do get up that the light is brighter and the color of the sun is actually changing.
Also, if you take a look up, and people don't tend to do that, but if you look up, even in urban areas, you will see that the trees are swelling. Somebody said to me, oh my gosh, the trees are swelling, they're gonna die. And I'm like, no, they're supposed to swell. That's good. That means they have more sunlight and they're getting ready to burst. And so there's like something like 60 days until we have Ostara, which is the spring equinox and the first day of spring, and around Easter time and Passover time and other celebrations in the world at this time when we're talking about rebirth and birth. But right now we're sort of in an in-between place. And I love this holiday, not only because I am actually half Irish, but because, and I love Bridget. Bridget is a goddess I adore. She is a triple goddess. She's the goddess of the hearth, poetry, and smiths. So in Celtic gods and goddess myth, the Celtic gods and goddesses are not just one kind of thing. In Celtic work, they are many things. They kind of have many, many aspects. In stuff like Roman or Greek or even sometimes in Egyptian god and goddess pagan worship, they were worshipped for one specific thing. So I'm gonna type this up, make sure I have lots of information for you. I'm gonna make sure it's up and ready to go. So there's a Saint Bridget. And by the way, when you're dealing with Bridget, you're not talking B-R-I-G-I-T, which is how we spell it in America or in England. It's Brigid, B-R-I-G-I-D. She's the goddess. And she's the one who we're talking about today. So who is she? All right. So she's also a fire goddess. She is someone who is celebrated all through the month of February. And also she's associated with so many different types of things. This is a very important goddess to the Irish and has been and still is quite important to them. They incorporated her name into a saint called Saint Bridget, who was supposed to have been the midwife to Mary, the Virgin Mary, Jesus's mother. But because they love her so much, they wouldn't want to remove her from their lives. All right. So what is she the goddess of? Well, fire. That's one of the things we can start to say, the forge and the hearth, that type of fire. She's also her auspices cover poetry, healing, childbirth, and unity. Wow. So many things, right? So there are lots of people who make these little corn dollies or little sort of four-legged kind of, it's hard to explain it, four-legged little eyes of Bridget that they weave at this time of the year. All right, so there's a beautiful goddess that has been revered in Ireland for many, many centuries and also has been revered here as well. In my work here, I worked with a high priest named Alexei Kondratiev, and he had formed a coven called the Nemesinenes. And this was a Greek word for the muses, but he was a Gaelic scholar, a Celtic scholar, and he spoke Celtic. And so because of him, I involved myself in a lot of trying to learn Irish, which is very hard, but also learning to play the Celtic harp and really trying to reestablish my roots of the ancient Irish. And by doing stuff like DNA, through Ancestry.com and putting up trees, I have literally discovered how deep and how far my Irish roots go back. So Bridget to me is my goddess, one of my goddesses that I revere the most. She actually has a very important place on my altar with another god named Cernunnos. We'll talk about him another time. He's also a Celtic god, an Irish god. There's a Druid myth about Bridget that says the infant goddess was fed with milk from a sacred cow from the other world. And she owned an apple orchard in the other world, and her bees would bring their magical nectar back to Earth. It's also said that wherever she walked, small flowers and shamrocks would appear. She was also a sun goddess, and her gifts were light, inspiration, and the healing energy of the sun. So, wow, so many things, right? So how do we celebrate in milk? Well, this is a fun holiday to celebrate because we're in between places. Like I said before, we don't have the Christmas season is wrapped up and put away and sort of just before like Valentine's Day, which is sort of sometimes a holiday for some people. And it is certainly before the spring. So what do, right? Well, it's a great important part of the year because what it is, if we're talking about the actual you know, not just the spiritual meaning of the time, but also the physical meaning of the time. We are talking about in the Northern Hemisphere, preparing ourselves to plant. So I just received in the mail from Richter's, R-I-C-H-T-E-R-S, by the way, if you're looking to plant herbs, Richter's, R-I-C-H-T-E-R-S, that are not magical necessarily, but can be. They are a wonderful catalog, and they will ship you flats of plants so you can put them in to your magical witch's garden and have them ready as soon as, you know, May is around. You'll have lots of things available. There's other places, which I will actually name for you in a moment, that have other seeds that are for things like belladonna and other poisonous plants that people will want to sometimes plant. And here it is, Alchemy Works. I love this place. This gentleman is a brilliant man who runs this. It's called alchemy/works.com. You can find seeds for anything. I just typed in belladonna deadly nightshade. Okay, so you can also get wolfsbane and henbane and all kinds of interesting poisonous plants. And I know many witches, and specifically Christopher Penzack, who's written many, many books and has wonderful magical information, and his students do study these plants. I would love to get my hands in the dirt and start working with these kinds of magical psychoactive plants. However, I live in New York City, and I would be very, very afraid to put any of these plants on my stoop, is where my garden is, believe it. I have no yard, so everything's out. I luckily have a stoop in Brooklyn where I can put all my things. But if you have a yard or a backyard, you might consider planting these, but you would have to be very cautious. Why? You can have, if children get their hands on these herbs, they can obviously be poisoned, and animals as well. So any wild animals that might be visiting your yard or your fields would die. So be very, if you're going to use these things from Alchemy Works, you need to be super cautious. People that I know that use them have, they have luckily a space where that is a sort of either a greenhouse, which is perfect for this, or a space that's gated and with chicken wire that nobody can get in. So think about that, or you can put them out on a terrace, if you have a terrace that nobody can get to, but birds will still come for these seeds, and you will end up literally killing animals, and I'm sure, as you are a witch or a witch in training and you want to work with the Wiccan reed, which is "and it harm none, do what thou wilt," you don't want to hurt animals who are our brothers and sisters on our mother earth. So anyway, that's my lecture on that. So anyway, this is the time of the year you get those catalogs in. You start honing the idea of what your garden's going to be like, what your food planting is going to be like this year. And if you can, if the earth is not frozen, and this year we're having a very warm winter in the north here in the Northeast. So if you can clean up, this is a perfect time to do that, because things are frozen and there's not a lot of pollen or indoor mold at this point of the year. It's been frozen enough so that it won't fly about. And it's a great time to clean away. Now that's outside, but inside, let's talk about the home as well. It's the same thing. If this is time of the year that our ancestors, or those who still do farm as they're on a regular basis, are preparing not only the outside, but the inside. People who can, and people who cook, or people who prep things like cheese or any kind of foodstuffs that will be brought in through the earth or through animals are ready to go. New hens are purchased and put in, and coops are being fixed and made. So all of this preparation is happening for us to eat through the more fruitful time of the year. So inside as well, if you are an urban dweller as I am, or if you are not, and you're somewhere luckily in the rural areas of the world, or in a suburban area where you have a little more room than I do, then you want to start thinking about it no matter who you are. It's time to clean the pantry. It's time to get things out that you didn't really use through the fall and into the winter, or it's time to use them. It's time to use all of your old foodstuffs if you can. What's in the freezer? What's in the pantry in the back that you didn't really cook? That you want to. The breads that you wanted to make, it's time to make them. It's time to start thinking about putting up medicines also for the fall, for the spring. And that's something I can talk about closer to Ostara, but this is the time of the year you start considering stuff to cleanse the liver. Like you want to start thinking about different herbs that can be prepped and used and put up for that particular thing, cleansing the liver, preparing the body for the warmer weather, getting out the sludge of the winter. So there's things like milk thistle or dandelion root that are perfect for that kind of stuff. And also, as soon as dandelions start popping up in the spring, we're going to talk about eating those too. So this is witch's work, whether or not we want to think that way. A lot of people like to think spooky thoughts when it comes to witchcraft, and I am no slouch in the spooky department, believe me. I love the dark moon, I love the dark time, but this is not that time of the year. We're getting to the light. We're getting to the opposite side. We've been in the dark since midsummer, which is June 21st, is when things start to pull in again. And if you're becoming a witch or living just with the seasons, you're going to start to feel that pull in. At this point, it's time to expand, and we start to feel that. Also, we're in the star sign of the constellation of Aquarius, starting in about, I don't know, a few minutes for me, on the 20th of January. We'll be in the first days of Aquarius. And Aquarius is very different than Capricorn, where we are right now and where we've been through most of the Yuletide season. So it's a heavier energy. It's a more constrictive energy. It's a much more an energy prone to organization and stacking things together, building and such. Aquarius is a lighter, more energetic, much more electric sign. And here we are in the middle of the season. So Bridget is the goddess of Imolc. She is the goddess that is generally prayed to and worked with at this time of the year in the Northern Hemisphere. However, there are many other gods and goddesses that have to do with this time of the year. And with a little bit of poking around and looking through pantheons, such as the Greek pantheon, you can start to see things like Persephone and Demeter. Demeter is the goddess of grain, and Persephone is her daughter, who gets abducted by Hades and kept in the underworld for part of the year. Well, she's getting ready to rise from the underworld. So Persephone is a goddess that is the goddess of spring. I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about her, because the idea of Persephone as the green plants rising from the earth, and those are her fingers, thrills me in a place deep inside my bone marrow. It's something that I understand so implicitly. Just seeing the little shoots come up and thinking, wow, those are Persephone. Here she comes, you know, just gives me a great thrill every year. And knowing that she'll be reunited with her mother, Demeter, and free from Hades, free from the underworld. By the way, her name in the Roman pantheon is Core, C-K-O-R-E, okay? So if you're interested in that goddess, and if you're interested in both, go for it. I would suggest, though, if you're having an Imolc celebration, you try to keep that, if you can, in an Irish tradition. There are plenty of people that like to mix pantheons. I am not one of them. I have no issue with people who do it. That's their issue and their decision. I do not. I like to keep an altar separated. So if I have a Bridget altar, that's for Bridget and Cornudos and my Irish gods and goddesses. If I have a Roman altar for, say, Venus and, you know, whoever else, that's where they live. And if I have an altar for a Greek, a god and goddess, like, say, Persephone, I will have a separate place for her and her own candles, her own incense, everything made for her specifically. I don't have a lot of room in my home, so I tend to choose one and then another, and I go in seasonal movement. Also, it's a time of the year for, by the way, spring cleaning. So here's, believe it or not, I mean, it's not warm, right? So why would we spring clean? Well, if you were living inside through all these cold months, specifically from October until, you know, March, your house is a little grody, and it's also a little grody. I said grody, this is like the 60s or 70s, but whatever. It's a little dusty, and it may be a little needing of air change. Also, it needs to be like time for cleaning behind the stove. It's time for washing curtains and windows. Believe it or not, it truly is. Inside, cleaning the inside. It's also time to think about cleaning your inside and outside. If many of us start their exercise programs at the beginning of the year and they falter. So this is a time to revitalize that. If you're thinking about getting back to the gym, back to the road, back to running, back to weight training, whatever it is, or dieting or health changing in some way, or working on meditation or wellness, anything that has to do with health, this is a time to revitalize that. Think again. This is a good time to go to your wellness checks with your doctor to get ready for the spring, to get ready for the spring. Our ancestors knew that this was a preparatory time. You have about 6 weeks or 8 weeks before we have spring. And by the time spring came, they had their planting done and they were ready to plow. The earth was plowed and seeds were going in, because the growing time is not that long. We really just only have from this point of time, where people germinate their seeds internally in the house or in a greenhouse, by the way. You're not germinating your seeds outside. If you get them, please don't do that. You will kill them. So they have to germinate inside if you have the room for such things. And if you're curious about how to do that, I can answer you if you write to me, or you can just explore that online. Just type that in, how to germinate seeds inside the house, inside a greenhouse. And that's what our ancestors did. They did not germinate them outside. But so they would begin that. They would begin making sprouts. If you've ever made sprouts, it's a pretty simple process with water and some seeds. It's not a hard thing to do. And they put them in small amounts of earth, and that bunch of earth would be what was put into the ground, or other plants would be transplanted in. Or if you had tubers, such as potatoes or carrots or turnips, which we are now all eating because that's what's left in the stores, that's what would be left from our ancestors, they'd be ready to start planting those out first, bulbs. Those bulbs would also have been in the earth, by the way, from the year previous, from the fall. Before the fall, they were put in and ready to go, and they will begin to grow almost immediately. Your garlics, your onions, your tubers of all sorts and types, or your root, your vegetables of all sorts and types. So that's what's going on, right? So there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things to think about. Let's talk quickly about an Imolc type of an altar and what might be on it. So if I'm going to do an Imolc ritual, one thing I'm always going to do is pick my music. I'm a musician and a singer. I primarily am that. That's what I do with my life. I'm a singer. So as I'm listening to music here, I'm thinking of things to do. I have a wonderful harpist who's my friend and who comes to my rituals in my home, and he's bringing his harp, and we do Celtic music. So that's something to think about. Do you want Celtic music? If you're doing an Irish or a Northern European ritual, do you want that to happen? Do you want that kind of music? Or if you're doing Persephone and or Roman god and goddesses or anything, so finding music that suits that is kind of a good thing. It adds the mood. Then you want to think about your altar itself. You want to set up a Sabbath altar if you're having people over. Even if you're not, it's a good time to revitalize your general altar. I just found some cool rhinestone encrusted tablecloths. Now, I like shine, so you may not. Some people are much more, you know, tweedy and woody, and that's great too, but I like shine stuff. I am a Leo. So I bought some new bowls that are all purple and things with crocuses on them on eBay. This is not a hard thing to find. Things are $2.99 plus free shipping. I was lucky. Here's a cat crying in the background. There's always cats in my house. So that's something to think about. And the colors of Imolc are white, silver, and light purple, lavender into purples. These are Bridget's colors, are also red, gold, things that represent fire. So you can combo them up, or you can look to nature and say, well, it looks like this outside, this gray sky and these brown, you know, kind of things. People also bring in pussy willows, which are start to show at this time of the year, and or buds and things that they find and that are outside, just the beginnings of things, and they can you decorate your altar that way. You can use a chalice that suits the time. It can be, if you want a Bridget chalice, you know, you can use a cauldron, or you can use with a fire in it. A lot of people use a red candle in the cauldron to represent Bridget, and that is what I will be doing. I will be making a Bridget candle, and I will decorate that, and I will have my corn dollies and have that on the altar. But I will also decorate it with, I love to decorate with that light lavender, but that's up to you. Also, there's tons of books on Amazon or other places where you buy books, hopefully used to keep too many books from being printed and wasted. But if you find there are cookbooks, which there's one called The Witch in the Kitchen that I have, and there's more pagan cookbooks or Wiccan cookbooks, and you can start to find things to make on those days. Now, Imolc, being in milk, is a milk holiday. So get out the lactaid for those of you who need it, and let's go. It's a day for cheesecake and cannoli, and a day for any kind of Parmesan pizza will work. Any kind of milk-ish soup, or any soup with milk or cream in it. So a carrot soup, which is orange with cream in it, would be really good as an idea. Just an idea, because Bridget is orange and the fire is orange. So anything gold, like a squash, a butternut squash soup, or carrot soup, or any kind of pumpkin soup, using up these things, using up root vegetables. That is an important part of this meal. Also breads, people like to make soda bread, even though it's not St. Patrick's Day. This is a perfect time for soda bread and to learn how to make soda bread, which is not very difficult. And if you have a bread machine, it is a perfect time to do that. And you can bring that to the table as well. Also, people do drink milk, and that is a thing. I end up drinking, I drink Bailey's Irish Cream because it sort of fits the bill, and or beer, and or anything that might be of Irish whiskey, and those kinds of things can be used in your ritual if you do imbibe, but if you don't, it's fine to use milk. You can make an infused seed milk with spice and different kinds of mixtures that you just gently boil. You can use a chai mix or chai tea. Anything with spice in it is important on this day. People like to make spice cakes as well because Bridget is fire, and so we have spice. So that's part of it. So I would suggest you open your mind and your ideas to what you could put on your altar. Now, you can invoke Bridget if you like, and you can invoke her another god or goddess that comes from the pantheon of the Irish pantheon. Cernunnos is, as I said before, on my altar. And if I call a god in, which I may not do because it is a holiday just for Bridget, really, in my mind. But if I did, I might call Cernunnos in and bring his energy to my ritual. I might not, or I might, but that's up to you as well. I don't necessarily call in the four quarters for earth, air, fire, and water on Sabbats. I do that on moons, and I'll talk about that briefly because we have a big blood moon coming up on the 21st, which is the Monday coming from here. So we'll talk briefly about that, but maybe I really need to do for you guys a really deep moon ritual idea. I think I'll do that on another podcast, but I'll talk about it briefly today just to give you some ideas. So all of those things can be involved. You need to do some research if you're interested. There is a wonderful website online called Sacred Texts, T-E-X-T-S, and they have full books on there for no charge about all of this stuff. There's a whole area about Wicca and witchcraft. So what spells might you do on this, on Imbolc? Well, I would think spells to grow, things that are growing, things that are getting bigger, things that are expanding, things that are, you know, getting to see the light of day, opening up to new projects, opening up to new ideas, opening up your heart to new love, opening up your body to whatever you want it to come into, opening your home, opening your business, opening, changing, cleaning, cleansing. Those are the things I would recommend. You can do a nice meditation on Imbolc, where you start to see the rise of Persephone, if you like. You can talk about that whole myth, which is a lovely thing and to take people through, or to take yourself through, or find somebody speaking to you online doing a guided meditation, which is something else I'd like to try to start doing for you all soon, as well as interviewing people and getting more information from other brains on my websites. So those things can work as spells. So cleansing, cleaning, changing. Read about it. Let's briefly talk about full moon. What is a full moon? Okay, the moon is full and we can see it. It's full. It's got its full face looking at us. In this case, we have a full moon in Cancer. And Cancer is where the moon is exalted, where she lives. This is her home. This is the moon's home. Cancer is ruled by the moon. And this is a very important time of the year for the moon. And it's really, of course, going to fall on Imbolc. This is a time of the year when we deal with the home. And that's what Cancer rules. The home, the hearth, the children, the mother. That's what it rules. Our emotional life. So again, it's a perfect, of course, time, and our ancient ancestors knew that. Of course, you hear in my world fire engines in the background. Apologize for that. It's how it goes in New York. But that is what this moon represents. So what's a full moon ritual? Well, it's the same idea in that you cleanse your space. You make sure that you've cleansed yourself. You think about the magic that you want to ask to happen that night. You actually call in the four quarters and a god and goddess representation, if that's what you want. So it's time to start examining that, guys. What is that? And if you know that already, this is the time to start the preparation for it and get it ready for the full moon. And what this is when the moon gets to its fullest, we get our most energy coming into our magical lives. And so you want to have things that are ready to go. The minute the moon is, and that's 2 or 3 days after it's full, when it starts to wane or get smaller again, it's when you want to have things to be removed. So now is a time to start building and putting things on the altar that you want to get bigger and stronger and more advanced. Four quarters is something that we have to discuss. We have earth, we have air, we have fire and water. Those are the four elements. And I've said this before about what's on an altar. So those you can look at, or you can look that up again in both sacred texts in the books there, or you can just review books. Or again, if you're confused about anything I say, always reach out to me either on Facebook, my website, or you can get to me on any kind of email. Also, in a full moon ritual, you want to start thinking about, of course, maybe a meditation, some kind of a thought pattern for the next 30 days or 90 days, 60 days, about whatever you're asking for. So that's a brief idea, very, very brief idea of what a full moon ritual is. And I think that on Monday, I will sit down and I promise I will really talk through one. So we'll have two podcasts this month. One will be about Imhotep, and then I will talk about this moon. And this moon coming up on the 21st in the Northern Hemisphere, I think also would look the same in the South, I'm pretty sure, is an eclipse of the moon, a full eclipse up here in the North. And they're calling it a blood moon, which just means that the reflection of the Earth upon the moon and the sun makes it look red. Our ancestors used to really take this as a portentous moon because they thought it was blood, full of blood, and represented war and death. And perhaps it does. Perhaps it does. I wouldn't say that it's not true. All right, so that's Imhotep. Lots of information. But again, this is a fun, every Sabbat is its own delightful, interesting, only once in that time, like every year, the Sabbats are different because we are different and the earth is different and our energy is different and the food is different and the plants are different and the animals are different, on and on and on. So every single Sabbat is different and special and really, really, really wonderful. By the way, if you're in a place where it's supposed to be big snows, this is a good day to pull in fresh snow and get it in your freezer, because nothing is nicer than having a big chunk of snow or ice in your water dish and letting it really, really melt as the ritual goes on. You can also put it in your cauldron and let it melt around the candle that you may put in to represent Bridget if you do that. Okay, so look up the herbs that are sacred to Bridget. I give you an assignment. I can't tell you everything. Look up the herbs so you can use aromatherapy if you want to, that you can grind and make incense if you want to. And on and on. This cat just wants to go outside, so I'm going to let him do that. He wants to go see the hallway. Very important. I apologize for that. But here we are. And if you need to reach me, you can always do so on email at themagical, M-A-G-I-C-A-L, apothecary, A-P-O-T-H-E-C-A-R-Y, at gmail.com. Or you can find me at my website, themagicapothecary.com. Or if you'd prefer, you can find my products and things I make, order something for yourself or someone you love at my Etsy store. It's called The Magic Apothecary on Etsy, E-T-S-Y. Also, I have a Facebook group, which is quite big, and it's easy to join and participate there. And it's also The Magic Apothecary. Okay, many blessings, and may Bridget bring you all you desire. May she fill your home and your life with her beautiful energy. May she cleanse and prepare you for the coming season, and may she bring you all of her joy, happiness, and love. And if Persephone is rising, let her rise into your life and bring you exactly all you need. So mote it be. Thank you, my friends, for listening, and I'll be back on the full moon, and we'll talk more about magic. Thank you. Bye-bye. Blessed be.